You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
I can't stand it. I'm ticked. I am ticked. You know why I'm mad? I'm in the studio today, by the way, with Gary Maestro Miller here. Maestro, do you know why I'm ticked today?
I have no idea.
Let me tell you why I'm ticked. I'm mad. I'm ticked. I'm annoyed. I'm downright in a bad mood, and this is why. I have got too much stuff to cover in this 30-minute segment. I just got the 30-minute program. I got too much to cover. Nowhere. 30 minutes is nowhere near enough time for me to accomplish what I want to accomplish today, but that's okay. I will give it my best shot. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. We're at Career Callings. Our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. Or Robbie at careercallings.net. That's 864-381-7649. Or Robbie, spelled R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. I want to launch off the program today with an article that I read in Fortune magazine, written by a lady named Jody Greenstone Miller. The name of the article was "Your Career Path is All on You," and that's a good thing. Now, quoting from her article, she says this right at the beginning of the article, quote, "In the old days, career paths came from outside. Companies hired you and then defined what you had to do to get to the next level. There were prescribed time frames for advancement, an HR department to nurture your progress, and a recruiting industry that reinforced this view of what a successful career looked like. Those days are gone," she says. And she continues, "Today you're on your own. You're expected to have 11 jobs before you hit 50. Half the work undertaken by major companies in the years ahead won't be done by the firm's own employees. 4 in 10 of us are likely to be working independently by the year 2020, which sounds like a long way away, but that's only 5 years from now. And as career paths morph into something resembling individualized mazes, jobs themselves are mutating from broader roles to a set of more precisely defined tasks," end quote. Now, if I were to digest that and translate that into my Robbie Romeiser vernacular, this is what it means. The workplace is becoming less and less stable and more erratic, more and more fluid. And for a lot of people, this instability is a problem internally, emotionally, spiritually. I understand that. And maybe this growing instability makes you a little uneasy. If you're listening to the program, maybe it makes you a little uneasy. And more you are wondering if maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to stop looking for jobs from others and start maybe creating your own world, creating your own business, becoming an entrepreneur, and starting your own practice or business to keep you employed. Now, that may or may not be the right thing for you, and there is no way, as I've already said, that in 30 minutes I can cover all the stuff that that entails. But I'm not saying, and also I want to make sure you know, I'm not saying that working for yourself necessarily gives you more stability. It can also it does have a lot of risk to it, but it certainly gives you more control over your own destiny, and that might be appealing to you and to me as things get a little bit more erratic in the working world these days. Maybe it's not workplace instability that's got you sick and tired of working for other people. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe you got a boss that works like this.
Every executive knows that employees love to complain. I had another employee who was complaining because he said that he was getting shocked while he used the headset.
The warehouse and ship it. Sorry about that. A little hardware problem. But
it was really just the normal kinds of things that...
Wait a minute. He was being shocked?
Well, I mean, it's only 9 volts. I mean, he acted like it was a taser or something. It was really not a very big deal.
9 volts is enough to hurt. If you put a 9-volt battery to your tongue, it hurts.
Well, the headset's not on their tongue, though. It's on their ear, and there are fewer nerve endings in their ear. And so I really don't think it's a very big deal.
Okay, my point is just that his complaint was legitimate.
Well, the good news is, though, that it really doesn't matter whether or not the complaint was legitimate or not, because an it-could-be-worse program works whether the complaint is legitimate or illegitimate.
How would you like to work for Mr. Insensitivity there? You know, maybe that kind of guy is your boss, and maybe that's what's making you think it's time to stop working for others. By the way, the It Could Be Worse program that Mr. Insensitivity mentioned in his clip is that whole idea was make the employees realize that things could be a whole lot worse than just being shocked in the head. So they stop complaining about being shocked in the head. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what's making you think about maybe taking a little bit more control of your destiny through opening your own business. It could be instability in the workplace. It could be a boss like Mr. Insensitivity there. Whatever is causing you to look at this idea, then what I want to do is try to give you some food for thought to find out whether or not God created you for that kind of situation, for, you know, opening your own business in particular. There are pros and cons for working for others now. There are pros and cons to working for yourself. But if you're beginning to wonder whether or not God would have you as part of your career calling to take a shot at starting a business, you owe it to yourself and to the Lord to explore the idea a little bit. Now, what I want to do today is to explore this idea of entrepreneurship a little bit with you, and we certainly we need to start with what I think is very important to start with, and that's an idea of what makes entrepreneurs tick. There have been a lot of studies on entrepreneurs trying to look for common threads, common personality traits, common activities, things of that nature, to try to figure out what the profile of a successful entrepreneur is. Now, I don't know that any one person or any two people, I should say, would really agree to a specific profile, but I think I can give you a pretty clear understanding of a lot of things that many people would agree on that your average entrepreneur has in terms of personality, interests, skills, abilities, and whatnot. And what I want you to do for the next few minutes as I'm going through this list is kind of consider yourself while I'm going through the list and ask yourself this question: does that sound like me? Does that sound like me? And if a lot of these things I'm about to cover sounds like you, then maybe, just maybe, it's worth exploring whether or not part of God's career calling for you is to maybe actually have you start your own business. And so with that, let's kind of launch into this article here that I found on businesstown.com entitled Profile of an Entrepreneur. And as the article says, although no one has found the perfect entrepreneurial profile, there are many characteristics that do show up repeatedly. And here's the first one. Entrepreneurs tend to work for extended periods of time. They have a very strong work ethic. And if you are wondering whether or not you might fit into the idea or profile of an entrepreneur, ask yourself the question, am I a workaholic? You know, do I like to work? Do I like to work long hours in order to achieve goals that I have set for myself, that maybe my boss has set for me? I can tell you in my own anecdotal experience, the successful entrepreneurs I know definitely share that. They are just driven and to accomplish goals, and through that drivenness, they end up working very long hours to make sure that their goals are accomplished. So that's one characteristic there. An 8-hour day is almost non-existent for those folks. It's 12, 15-hour days a lot of times. Number two characteristic here of the profile of an entrepreneur is self-control. Entrepreneurs do not function well in structured environments. They really don't like having other people in authority over them. Now, let's not equate everybody who's got an authority issue with being an entrepreneur. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a lot of folks that got no business owning their own business who have authority issues. But one of the common characteristics of successful entrepreneurs is that they don't like structure. They're very scattered. They don't like having people in authority over them because they believe they can do the job better than anyone else and will strive for maximum responsibility and accountability. They enjoy creating business strategies. They thrive on the process of achieving their goals. And once they achieve their goal, they're not satisfied to just sit there and rest on their laurels. They want to go after the next goal and the next goal. And they strive to exert whatever influence they can over future events. This dominant characteristic of entrepreneurs, or a dominant characteristic, I should say, is their belief that they are smarter than their peers and superiors. They have a compelling need to do their own thing in their own way. They need the freedom to choose and to act according to their own perception. Does that sound like you? Well, if it does, maybe, just maybe, God created you to be an entrepreneur. Don't know he does. Don't know he did, but maybe. How about self-confidence? Entrepreneurs are self-confident when they are in control of what they're doing, and they like to work alone. Very oftentimes, not always, but very oftentimes, they tackle problems immediately with confidence and are persistent in their pursuit of their objectives. Next, sense of urgency. I've already kind of referred to that, but they have a strong, never-ending sense of urgency to develop their ideas. Inactivity just, man, you'd feel like inactivity just makes them impatient. It's like you slapped them upside the head. They just get mad if they've got nothing to do with their hands. It makes them tense, makes them uneasy. They thrive on activity. Comprehensive awareness is another thing that applies here. Successful entrepreneurs can comprehend complex situations, and that would include things like planning, making strategic decisions, working on multiple business ideas simultaneously. They're kind of farsighted. They look far down the road, and they're aware of important details they need to handle today, but they're always keeping their eye on the end prize, the end goal. Next, they're realistic. Entrepreneurs are very realistic. They may or may not be idealistic, but they're seldom unrealistic. They change their direction when they see the need for change. They're not wedded to a particular path. If circumstances dictate to them to shift their processes in order to achieve their goals, they will do that. Then conceptual ability. Entrepreneurs possess the ability to identify relationships quickly in the midst of complex situations, and they identify problems and begin working on their solution faster than other people. Then interpersonal relationships. Entrepreneurs are more concerned with people's accomplishments than their feelings, and that's a big one. I've seen that a lot. A lot of entrepreneurs are really not that sensitive. Some are, but a lot are kind of blunt. And they're not really worried about your feelings. They want to make sure that you can perform. And unfortunately, that does cause a lot of friction a lot of times with your typical entrepreneur. And then emotional stability. Entrepreneurs have a considerable amount of self-control and can handle business pressures, and they are comfortable in stress situations. Does that profile sound like you? Well, if it does, maybe entrepreneurship is in your future. And when we get on the other side of the break, we'll talk more about what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur.
We appreciate the help we get on Christian Worldview Today.
I'm thankful that I can do this show with all confidence that if I ever say anything that's incomplete or just the slightest bit not up to a standard here, I have plenty of people who can help me.
We all need that in life.
Yes, we do.
Most of us have the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
and I have Gene.
And Gene's mad now because you said that.
And others. And others, not just Gene.
Christian Worldview Today, weekday morning, 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
At Just Right Auto Repair, we're different and proud of it. What makes us different? We care about you. We want to get to know you. We call you by your first name. We want to educate you on your second largest investment, your car. Here at Just Right Auto Repair, we truly care about being different. Come in today and experience the Just Right Auto difference. Call us at 242-1961. That's 242-1961. Call Just Right Auto Repair today or check us out on the web at justrightautoinc.com.
8-year-old Anna Esmeralda was at death's door from severe malnutrition. Springing into action, Dr. Laura Luke and the hospital staff in Guatemala treated their tiny patient with God's love. And over the next 6 weeks, Anna regained her smile, her energy, and her life. Dr. Laura Luke, her husband Mike, and their five daughters left the comforts of Spartanburg, South Carolina to win souls, like little Anna's, for God through medical missions. To learn more about, pray for, or financially support the Lukes, visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, you might be happy to know that I've calmed down a little bit since the first segment. I'm no longer mad. I've taken my Prozac. And actually, I might be a little bit more mellow in this segment than any of us would like. Welcome back to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today in this second segment here, and you can call, text, or email your questions or comments at 864-381-7649 or Robbie at careercallings.net. That's 864-381-7649 or Robbie at careercallings.net. Now, in the first segment, we were talking about the profile of a successful entrepreneur. And let's just say that while I was going through that profile, you were thinking to yourself, wow, that sounds like me. I sound like that person Robbie just described. Well, if you're thinking that, it doesn't necessarily mean yet that that's what God wants you to do, but certainly you need to investigate further. And in order to kind of continue that process of investigation, here's a few more things to consider. Entrepreneurs do have the ability to spot obvious needs that are unique, that they are uniquely qualified to fill. And if you have a knack for that, that may be another feather in your cap that you should pursue this line of work. Do you have the courage to embrace your right to make an impact on the world around you? That's something else that entrepreneurs do have, the courage to take on the risk to make the impact they think they were designed to make. And then number three, are you willing to ask other people for help? That's something that the really, really successful entrepreneurs get over. They get over this need to do everything themselves, and they do get into the habit of asking other people for help. Now, in order to address these three additional characteristics of successful entrepreneurs, I want to play for you three audio clips. And the first one we'll talk about and listen to is the story of Veronica Scott. Just listen to this.
I really believe that people can tackle far more than they think they can. My name is Veronica Scott. I'm 24 years old, and I'm the CEO and founder of the Empowerment Plan here in Detroit. I ended up getting a great scholarship to go to college, and a class ended up changing my entire life. The class assignment was designed something to fill actual needs. I did my research at homeless shelters. So the first product I created was the coat. When I was on like prototype number 7, a woman came out of the shelter that I was in and she was yelling at me. She was full on screaming. And she said, "We don't need coats. Coats are pointless. We need jobs." And really, she was completely right. Because a coat is just a band-aid for a systemic issue. And what really would have the impact is hiring the population that would need them in the first place. We hire only individuals from homeless shelters, and then we train them in everything from sewing and manufacturing to employment, as well as tech. And no matter what you've gone through, you still can do a lot with what you have.
And And that in that short clip from Veronica Scott's story, we recognize one of the key things that entrepreneurs do share. They have this common ability to spot an opportunity to fill a need, spot an opportunity to fill a need that others have, and then they have the faith and the courage to take the effort, to make the effort to fill that need. Now, to kind of add a little bit more to that second thing, the idea of embracing the right to make an impact. I mean, Veronica at some point had to come to a point where she said, you know what, I'm that person, and I have a duty and a desire to fill that need. Well, here's what the late Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, had to say about this idea of having a right to make an impact on the world.
When you grow up, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live your life inside the world, try not to bash into the walls too much, try to have a nice family life, have fun, save a little money. That's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own things that other people can use. And the minute that you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push in, something will pop out the other side, that you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing, is to shake off this erroneous notion that life is there and you're just going to live in it, versus embrace it, change it, improve it, make your mark upon it. Once you learn that, you'll never be the same again.
And that's the challenge a lot of people have. They never learn that. That was a key phrasing from Jobs, is that you have to learn it. Not only realize it, but learn it and apply it to your life. Now Jobs was not a Christian, so at least not to my knowledge. I don't think that he was. Doesn't seem to be. So let me kind of take his statements and kind of look at them from the lens or through the lens of a Christian worldview. And I would say it this way. You have as much right, I have as much right, an ability to be used by God to make an impact on the world. In other words, when God calls you to do something, you've got the right to obey. You've got the right to allow Him to empower you, and then you hand over the consequences of obedience to Him and let Him fulfill your needs. Now, I don't know, maybe God wants you to build a business for His glory that will fill some desperate need here on earth, or maybe He won't. But if He does, if He's leading you that way, you just have to be obedient to that idea of letting Him use you in that way. Even if you don't understand right now all the ways that, or all the things that that will entail, just understand that if God's calling you, you've got just as much right to be used as a business owner as anybody else who's opened a business. Don't let low self-esteem, if I can say it that way, stop you. Because if God calls you, God esteems you enough, and you just need to obey. Because if He esteems you enough, then you're esteemed, and that's all that matters. Move on down life's highway. The next thing I want to cover here is that last thing I mentioned at the beginning of this segment. Are you willing to ask others for help? In the first segment, Profile of an Entrepreneur, I mentioned in passing that a lot of entrepreneurs want to do things themselves. They think they're smarter than everybody else, and they can do things better than everybody else. And unfortunately, that tends to make many entrepreneurs very hands-on, very reluctant to ask other people to help them. Yet, asking for help is huge if an entrepreneur wants to succeed long-term. To kind of illustrate this, in just a second, we'll listen to an audio clip from Richard Branson. I guess I should call him Sir Richard Branson, as is now his name, from Great Britain. He launched Virgin Records in 1973, and today the Virgin Group has, between 300 and 400 companies, as he mentioned in this clip here we're about to listen to, in over 30 companies. Well, you can't open 300 or 400 companies in 30 different countries by being hands-on doing everything yourself. So this is what Richard Branson had to say with regards to delegation.
Well, I think the best bit of advice I've been able to give people, and the most thank yous I've had, you know, a few years later, is to, you know, say to young entrepreneurs, you know, early on in your career, find somebody better than yourself to run the business on a day-to-day basis. Remove yourself from all, you know, maybe even from the building, but remove yourself from all the day-to-day nitty-gritty In that way, you're going to be able to deal with the bigger picture. You're going to be able to become an entrepreneur and think about new areas to go into. You're going to be able to have a family life. You're going to be able to see your children. So what I've realized from that is you can oversee 300 or 400 companies around the world. And in some ways, it is easier today for me to oversee a few hundred companies than it was when I was hands-on, running a business myself, having to deal with all the nitty-gritty of it. So learning the art of delegation is absolutely key, I think.
And later on in that same interview, Branson indicated or shared one of his techniques to force delegation. He actually said he got into the habit of removing himself from the building where his business was because he had learned through experience that if he hired, let's just say, a second in command who was supposed to take over the day-to-day operations of the business, what people tended to do was bypass the second in command and come to Richard's office. Because people want to talk to the head decision maker whenever they have that access. That's who they want to talk to, the top dog, the top guy. So what Richard decided to do is, well, I'm just going to remove myself from the building, and then the only person they can access is my second in command, who I do want to handle all that stuff. And that's another piece of advice tied to this advice on delegation that many of the folks he has mentored over the years have really, really appreciated and utilized. Now, just to kind of speak a little bit further about this idea of delegation and really to get a bigger picture or a better picture of what it really does mean to be an entrepreneur. Years ago, I listened to and read a little bit about a speaker series or a presentation series. It was also a book as well by a guy named Michael Gerber called The E-Myth. And I listened to most of it on audio tape many, many years ago. And one of the things he said that I will never forget is that many entrepreneurs, and by the way, the rule of thumb statistics are these. People who open up their own business, about 80% of them will fail in the first 5 years. Of the 20% that survive, 80% of them will fail in the second 5 years. So by the time you get 10 years into a new business, most everybody's out of business. Okay, so there is a lot of risk here. And that's why I said earlier on today, it's not going to be necessarily more stable. You just have more control. But Gerber said a lot of people fail because they're technicians that suffer from an entrepreneurial seizure. They think that going to work for themselves is going to be some bed of roses without realizing all that's entailed in operating a business. Now, what I'm looking at here and what you can find after the program on careercallings.net/radio is a copy of a typical organizational chart. And I'm just going to quickly read to you what different departments there are underneath a business operation. So at the top of the chart is the chief executive officer. That would be you if you're starting your own business. Then underneath that are 9 different departments, if I can say it that way. And here they are: marketing, sales, advertising, operations, production, customer service, administration, finance, and human resources. And if you were to break those down, you got lead generation, lead conversion, sales presentations, pricing, maintenance, purchasing, quality control, accounting, payroll. Do you get the picture? Opening up a business, if you have been doing something for someone else for years and now you want to do that for yourself, you just took on not only what you had been doing yourself as an employee, you took on all these different aspects of running a business as well. So just go into it with your eyes wide open and certainly look for help. I highly recommend that you check out this website, score.org, score.org. They are retired business executives, nonprofit group who love to mentor people who want to get started in business. Thanks for joining us today for today's show. If you want to get a copy of this podcast, audio clips we used, or references to articles, clips to articles that we used, visit careercallings.net/radio, and you can download all that stuff at your leisure. How did God design you to bring value to the world? That's a question only you and the Holy Spirit can answer. And if you don't know, it's time to find out.